Jesus on Wednesday nights in the teachings, example, and life of Jesus. And we're picking up here. We've been in lesson 15, and it ended up being a three-part lesson. For time's sake, I've just taken each of the main points and taught each of them on a separate Wednesday night each instead of trying to fit it into one big long lesson. And I'm sure that you are grateful that we're getting out at a good time and you're getting home. We're going to do the same thing tonight. And so we're going to get right into this. And if you have your worksheet from the last lesson I spoke on, we're continuing in it. But if you need one, I believe they have some available. Do you have some? All right. If you do not have the worksheet from the past, raise your hand. All right. We've got right back here, Ms. Pearsall. And who's got those? Brother Dave, do you have those lessons? There you go. Ms. Pearsall in the back, Ms. Faye, she wants one. And if you don't have yours from before, if you turned it into spitwads or you turned it into, I'm talking about you, Brother Rick, you're the one I'm thinking of. You got yours. I'm proud of you and a little disappointed. But anyway, you'll make it up tonight. Oh, man. A lot of times we went to the half sheets because they fit better in your Bible. And when we continue them, you can just stuff them in there. And I hope the worksheets are a help. We don't put every single thing from my notes in it, but we do give you the main things, and hopefully you're making notes around it and on the side and on the back of it and in your Bible. And you think you'll remember it, but you won't, but the notes may help you. All right, I want you to take the Word of God and turn to Matthew chapter 4. While you're turning there, just going to recap. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 14 through 17, we see Jesus described as being a pattern for our life. Jesus left for us a pattern to follow. And there are many of them. We're not taking all of them, of course, but I brought out several of the major patterns that we see in Jesus. And I explained that a pattern, we gave the definition of it out of Webster's dictionary. He describes the word pattern this way: something fit to be copied or imitated, and also a model or guide or set of guiding pieces for making something. Jesus left us a guide for us to be able to make a life that pleases God. And so we need to look at Jesus and look at the pattern that he left us, and we need to allow ourselves to be molded into that pattern. And if we can do that, we will have a very victorious Christian life. Now, the first thing we looked at was the pattern of prayer that Jesus left for us. He left for us a great model of prayer for us to follow, and he taught on prayer a lot, and not just by teaching, but by example. He taught us how to have excellent prayer lives, effective prayer lives. A lot of people may have a prayer life, but is it an effective prayer life? We know that there are people that just seem to have a powerful prayer life. Their prayers get answered. They know how to get through to God. Well, Jesus, of course, would be at the top of the list. He would be the zenith of a powerful prayer life. And he left us a pattern to follow. And boy, we looked at that. We studied it from every angle. Then we went to the second pattern that we note in the life of Christ, and that was the pattern of prevailing over sin. How many of you will admit that perfect is hard to beat? Perfect. You say, how good was Jesus at prevailing over sin? He was undefeated. He never once committed a sin, according to the Word of God. And I believe that. I have faith in that, that he was sinless, that he went to the cross sinless. He was resurrected sinless. There was never any guile found in him. He had his body in complete subjection. So he left for us a pattern. And we noted there were times where the devil came at him directly seeking to get him to sin. And we see his effective defense against temptation. And we see his offense as well against temptation. But he left for us a pattern to follow that if we will follow it, we too can prevail over sin in our life. And we know that sin hurts, sin destroys. Sin brings destruction, it brings shame, it brings regret, it brings waste. And so we need to always be growing in our ability to prevail over sin. Somebody say, that is right. That is right. How many of you, has anybody in here mastered it? Can anybody say you've gone a week without any sin in your life? I'm going to put my hands way down here, man. We are always dealing and dueling with sin. Every day we get up, like Paul said, I have to get up and buffet myself daily. Now, I think I misinterpreted that for a long time. I read it that I need to get up and buffet myself daily. But he would say, I buffet myself. I beat myself into subjection spiritually because he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, Jesus, pattern over sin, man, he prevailed. Gave us a pattern how to beat and defeat sin and temptation in our life. Now we're coming to the third and final one that I'm going to cover. And I know there's more, but we're going to look at this one as he was such a wonderful example. And it's also another key as to why he had such a great victory over sin. These two things are connected. So in Matthew 4, verse number 1, it would have been nice if I had turned there after I had told y'all to turn there. But I can fix it quickly. In Matthew 4, 1, I've taught on this so much, especially through this series. Matthew 4 comes up a lot. But Matthew 4, 1, it says this. Then was Jesus led up of the, say it, the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We see that Jesus was led. If you ever pin underline the word led, underline the word led. He was led up of the Spirit. So we see the Spirit as the guide, and we see Jesus as he is following the guide. Now, let me give you some things on this really quickly. In Jesus, we see the pattern of yielding to the will of God. Yielding to the will of God. Now, in this, we see that Jesus understood the leading of God through the Spirit. We see this in Matthew 4:1. Let me say it again. It should be in your notes. Jesus understood the leading of God through the Spirit. Right there, we see it in living color right in front of us. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. Jesus always yielded to the will of the Father, even though sometimes that will was hard. Sometimes that will was unpleasant. Sometimes that will was painful. We understand that Jesus knew that God's will was personal. All of us have a personal will that God has for us. It's a personal will that he has for you. When you were born, God knew what he wanted to do with you, what he wanted to use you to accomplish. He knew what he was going to place you in and what things he wanted you to do. So we see that it's a personal will that God has for us. Jesus understood all this. Now, let me see here. How did I write this? Jesus always yielded to the will of the Father, even though it was hard, unpleasant, painful, hard to understand, and not what you would want personally. Jesus understood these things. Now, let's look at a few scriptures to back up that statement. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Who's alive and awake tonight? Who's glad to be in the house of the Lord? Who would rather be at the emergency room right now, waiting to be seen? Do I still rank above the emergency room? All right, we're going to take a vote. How many of you would rather be hearing me teach than be in the emergency room? Raise your hand. All right, that's most of you. Who would rather be in the emergency room? Raise your hand. Good. All right. That's right. What's that? All righty, Matthew 26, look at verse number 38. I used to rank above waiting in line at Walmart, but I have slipped below Walmart, I'm afraid. People love going to Walmart. Now look at this, Matthew 26, 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now catch this, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, I find that to be so true. If you have your pen underlined that, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you find yourself doing things that in your spirit you never thought you would do, didn't want to do, wouldn't respect others for doing it? No better. Your spirit wants to do right, but often, man, that flesh is just so weak, or the pull of the flesh is so strong, however you want to look at it. Boy, we're not alone in this. Even the great apostles struggled with their flesh. Isn't that encouraging to us to know that we all have to work at it? Now, it says here, In verse 42, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. If you have your pen, underline that. Thy will be done. We see a second reference to the will of God. We see in verse 39 him saying that I will yield to your will. We see him yielding to it again there in verse 42. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. Now we'll stop there. We see in these verses, though, where Jesus is in that garden. He knows that he's been betrayed. He knows that the soldiers are approaching. He knows that the devil is near, the great tempter, and he's at that hour of temptation. And he is praying. He's saying, Lord, if there's no way out of this, then let your will be done. Jesus absolutely yielded to the will of the Father. We see where he prays three times the same prayer. And in that same prayer, he says to the Lord, Let thy will be done in my life. I will obey what you want me to do. Let's look at another verse. Go over to John chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 4. Has anybody in the room ever been to Triple S Christian Ranch in Rosebud, Arkansas? Anybody? That is in. Well, that's in the heart of the United States of America. The very heart. Very hard. But anyway, they have a, I think I've shared this before, but I always think of it when I'm looking at 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of John, the four Johns in the Bible. But they had four latrines on the boys camping in, and they were nicknamed 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, 4th John. They had them written upon. I thought that was very clever. I liked it. I remember that all the way from being a little boy. And I'm sure you're better off that I have shared that with you. You're just, what would your night have been had I not shared that? John chapter 4, look at verse number 34. It says, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My meat, my sustenance is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He's saying, my sustenance in life is to do the work or the will of God that sent me here. If you have your pen, underline that. And let's go to another verse. Go to John chapter 5, just a page or so over. John chapter 5, verse 30, we see another statement where Jesus says this. Look at this in verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If you have your pen, underline that. Boy, what a statement concerning Jesus and his ability to obey and yield to the will of God. If you will, go to John chapter 6, another page over. John chapter 6, verse 38, we'll see yet another statement made by Jesus. John 6, verse 38 says this, For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. If you have your pen, you should underline that. Once again, we see Jesus as he explains that I do not think in terms of what I want. I only think in terms of what does he want. And that is something Jesus mastered. And he has left for us a pattern to follow here when it comes to yielding to the will of God. It's something that I believe everybody struggles with. You know, there's reasons for it, and I'll give you some things at the very end, but how many of you Dallas Cowboy fans? Are there any Dallas Cowboy fans in the house? I got a few, How many of you remember the name Roger Staubach? Oh, you have to say it with great reverence. The Scramble King, man. But he won a Super Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys back in 1971. Led the team to a world championship. Respected athlete. Texas Dallas Cowboys legend. I want to read you a little article that I found about him. Listen to this. Roger Staubach, who led the Dallas Cowboys to the World Championship in 1971, admitted that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was a source of trial for him. Coach Landry, when we say the name Coach Landry, we have to go, ah, what a great man, huh? Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could he change the play. And in parentheses, it says, and he had better be right. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind, when it came to football strategy, Roger said, my pride told me that I should be able to run my team and do as I saw fit. Roger later said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and ultimately great victory. You know, the same is true for you and I when it comes to our great coach, the Lord. God is in heaven. He is calling the plays. We get to thinking in our pride that our life belongs to us and that we should get to say what we do with it. And that it's our decision. I hear people all the time say, when I grow up, I want to be. And yet I rarely hear people say, when I grow up, I want to find out what God wants me to be. I want to be this. I want to be that. We ought to say, when I get to that place, I want to find out what God wants for me. We want to teach our students here at the school to constantly be asking, not the question, what do I want to do with my life? But we need to be asking this question. What does God want me to do with my life? In God's plan for you, he knows already what's going to make you happy. God knows what he designed you to do. Now, not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a youth leader. Not everybody's going to be a music leader. Not everybody is going to work at a church. Not everybody's going to be a missionary. Not everybody's going to be a Christian school teacher. But I do believe there are people, and the day they're born, it is God's plan and God's will for their life to fulfill those spiritual functions. But for some people, God's will is for you to be a hairdresser. Amen? And you need to be the greatest hairdresser you can be in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Women are depending on you to look good. But that may be God's plan. And you, Ashley, could have an opportunity to be a great witness for Jesus by being a Christian hairdresser. It may be God's will that you're a medical doctor. It may be God's will that you're a lawyer. We need some Christian lawyers, amen? Hey, it may be God's will that you start a business and use your ability to make money and the gifts that God's given you to make money. It may be God's will that you do that and you help your church in financial ways. There are Christian businessmen all over America that have helped make churches healthy, not because they're maybe excellent soul winners, maybe not because they're great Sunday school teachers, but maybe because they're gifted at making money, and they take that gift and they use it to help missions, they use it to help their home church, and the churches are blessed by it. Hey, I know this. The Bible says that before I formed thee in thy mother's belly, I already knew thee and ordained thee. I believe that all of us, when we were literally inside of our mother, God already had a will and a plan for our lives. The question is, do we find that? And when we find that calling, do we have the power of our spirit to make our flesh yield to it? Often we pursue what we want to do. We pursue what we want to be. We pursue the life that we want to have, and often it doesn't parallel with the life God has for you. Jesus obviously did not want to go to the cross. He wasn't looking forward to it. Obviously, he was wishing there was a way around this, but he says plainly, I'll do what you have willed for me to do. And boy, it takes strength to pray that and to demonstrate that. So we see here that Jesus, great pattern for yielding to the will of God. Now, we understand as we look at this, a great key to spiritual success. Help me out here real quick. Brother Albert, if you would, come and stand on this top step right here. Come and stand right up here. Do you mind climbing the mountain here? Come on up here and stand right up here. Julian and Hayden, y'all come and stand, each of you on the second steps. One on each step. Should be three, one on each step. Three guys staggering down. You see here, We have the Father, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Son. So Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Father. Now, we see here, I've got it staggered out, where you see God the Father. Now, you see here, this Holy Spirit is the leader. Now, we see that God is the Father. He is the Spirit who directs. It's His will that we have to follow. But through His will, the Holy Spirit leads us in His will. So we see in this pattern, we see that there was Jesus, and we see in the image of Jesus, which was the flesh of the Father, the begotten Son, He was the flesh of the Father. We see that He yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we see that He placed Himself under the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many of you see that in the scriptures that we've read? Jesus placed Himself under that leading. But the Holy Spirit was leading in the will of the Father. So the Father had a will. The Holy Spirit led in that will, and Jesus yielded to the leading of the will of God. So we see in this an example, a pattern for us. Now, in your life, you have your spirit, you have a soul, and you have flesh. And in that, we have to take our flesh and put it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we take our flesh, put it under the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is under the direction of the will of God. So just as Jesus, the flesh of the Godhead, put Himself under subjection to the Holy Spirit in the Godhead and the Father in the Godhead, His flesh was in complete obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit and the will of the Father. When you and I can put our flesh in subjection as Jesus did, and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit and obey in our life the will of God, we will have victory over sin, over temptation, and we will be able to perform the calling and duties of God. How many of you see that in Scripture? That's the pattern Jesus left. He perfectly set for us an example that our flesh, which was Jesus, has to be in obedience and subjection to the Holy Spirit and to the will of the Father. Is anybody in the room claiming to master that? That is much more difficult than you might think, but it is what Jesus did. And you see that Jesus, He says, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I and My Father are one. Jesus and God were one. But we see that in the image of Jesus, the flesh, He represents the flesh. He was in complete subjection to the Spirit and the will of God, the Father. And that is what you're going to have to do to ever have victory over your sin. I've said this a lot lately. It keeps coming up. Why do we fail in temptation? Why do we fail often to obey God? It's because this, y'all all step down one step. Step down. You step up too. You go to the top. There you go. Go all the way to the top. And you step down here, and you stay right here. Come over here. When we take our flesh and we put it up there, we now put the will of the Father as secondary, and we put the leading of the Spirit as non-existent. Are you following the will of God in your life? Is everything in your life go down to how you feel, what you want? What about the last 20 decisions you made? Can you honestly say that it was in the leading of the will of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit? Or was it simply, this is what I want to do. This is how I feel. This is what I think is best for me. Now, Jesus did not want to go to the cross. So why did He? Go back to the original form here. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Wasn't what He wanted. He dreaded it. He was wishing, let this cup pass from me. Why did He do it? Because He was in subjection to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who was also following the will of the Father. Holy Spirit led Jesus in the path that God ordained. Now, until you get your spiritual life in that order, you're going to always struggle with what God wants for you. The call of God will never be answered in your life as long as it's, get back up there. Y'all step back down. You stay right there, stay right there. If this is how it's working for you, you will never yield to the will of God. God can call and he can call and he can call, but until this gets down there and you're under the subjection of the leading of the Holy Spirit and the will of the Father, you'll never, ever, ever have victory in your life. You will always fight what God wants you to do. And it's not major. Sometimes it's as simple as this. I need a nursery for Friday night. And I just announced it. And some of you ladies thought, I could do that. And you felt that little tinge. I'm setting y'all up here now. You see what I'm saying? Y'all felt that little tinge. I could do that. I'm free Friday night. Then all of a sudden you thought, I don't want to do it. But you felt the Lord for a moment say, you should do that. Has that ever happened to y'all? Has that ever happened? Have you ever been sitting in church and I make an opportunity announcement of service and for a moment you feel the Holy Spirit leading you in the will of God for you? You need to be the one to do that. Then all of a sudden you think, but I've got this and this and this this week and I'm going to be so tired. And no, I don't want to do it. Now, you walk away from the will. Amen. He has done it again. Praise the Lord. Hey, I knew it worked. But the point is, this happens all the time. It happens in missions conferences. It happens in revivals. People sit in these pews and they feel the leading of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is plainly talking to you and saying, this is what the Father wants. And you have that argument and you get into that debate. And 9 out of 10 times, we walk away from the will of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit because it's not what we want to do. Jesus yielded to the leading of the Holy Spirit. His flesh, which was the flesh of the Godhead, it was in subjection. We have to put our, he set a pattern. We've got to put our flesh into the subjection of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, who is under the direction of the will of God who resides above us. Isn't that beautiful? Thanks a lot, guys. That's the pattern Jesus left. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people never figure this out. Their whole life is going to be spent doing what makes them feel good, doing what performs or what fulfills their desires. And they will never yield to the will of God in their life. And they struggle with it in every area. Rarely do they ask the question, what does God want me to do? What is the Holy Spirit leading me to do? Their bigger question is, what would I enjoy? What would I find pleasure in? What fulfills me? What makes me feel joy? Well, we see that Jesus left us this wonderful, wonderful pattern. Jesus always yielded to the will of the Father. We see scriptures. There's many more, but I've showed you plenty. You and I must follow Jesus in the obedience of the will of God. Jesus understood this, and we should remember this when it comes to the will of God. Let me give you these four things. I'm not sure if these are in your notes or not, but if not, you can write them down. Number one, remember this when it comes to the will of God in your life and the leading of the Holy Spirit and your flesh that wants to fight it. Jesus yielded his flesh. He was an example of the flesh being in submission. He himself was the flesh in submission to the Spirit and the Father. So we see this. Now, number one, he knows what he is doing. How many of you believe God knows what he's doing? Amen. Remember that. Number two, he always has a purpose in what he is calling you to do. He knows what he's doing, and he always has a purpose. God's not trying to do things in chaos or confusion. There's always a purpose. You may not understand his calling and the Holy Spirit's leading. It may not make any sense to you, but God has a purpose in it, and that purpose will at some point be revealed to you, normally after you have yielded and obeyed it. You will then understand it. All righty, we see here, good will always result from his purpose for all that are involved. Good always is the result of obeying God. All righty? And then we see great reward comes to those that obey with. Okay, great reward comes to those that obey while disaster is found in rebellion to his will. How many of you have found that in your life as you look back, the times you did not obey God, it ended in disaster? You thought you were going to be happier telling God no, because that what he wanted you to do, you couldn't conceive in any possible way that you would find joy in that. But then those times that you did yield, did you ever notice how much joy you found at the end of it? Oh, man. Let me close with this. These are realities about the will of God and the leading of the Spirit. Jesus understood these things. We must understand them. Number one, this is not in your notes. This is free. It was an afterthought after I'd already typed this out. Number one, it's often not what you wanted. The will of God is often not what you wanted. You will find that happens a lot. It's often not what you wanted. Will you have the power in that situation to make your flesh yield to God's will when it's not what you wanted? That's the big question. It's not going to be what you want all the time. You're not going to get to live where you wanted to live all the time. You're not going to get to work where you wanted to work all the time. You're not going to have the things that you want to have sometimes in the will of God. And the question is, do you have the power to make your flesh yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which is under the subjection of the will of God? We make a lot of decisions based on what our desires are, but it's not often. There's so many things that come up where you have to yield and say, God, it's not the path that I saw for my life, but I yielded to it. I think of Christine, who was raised in China, raised in communist China, and she married a man from America, which is everybody's dream in a communist country. Everybody would love to, and I've been to communist countries, and I've had people beg me to take me home with them and say things like, can I hide in your suitcase, and all kinds of stuff. They want to be here. You don't believe me? Why do you think our borders are such a mess? We live somewhere where everybody wants to be. And don't buy into the media that wants you to believe that we live in a cesspool of a country. We're the envy of the world. She got to enjoy things. Now, she missed her family. She missed the food of her home country. She missed friends. But ultimately, she got to live a very good life and adapted to it and felt that this would be her life. They had a son. They were raising him in the American way of life. Then all of a sudden, lo and behold, Ms. Drager, we had a missions conference and wrecked her happy world. They had a good business. I don't know how much you know about Roger and Christine, but Roger was a very good businessman. He had a gift of making money. All of a sudden, in the middle of a missions conference, his flesh got a message from the Holy Spirit that was under the will of God and said, I want you to go back to communist China. I don't know if any of y'all realize how hard that was for her. Now, there's some silver lining in it, and she'll be happy because she's in the will of God. But when he told her, this is what God has called me to do, she had to come to a place to say, do we do what God wants us to do, or do we do what we want to do? Don't you understand? It was hard to leave. It's a very poor, where they're at, ladies, I don't want you to panic, but they don't have nail salons and hair places. And how many of you say, no, the will of God's not for me now? I'm sure they can find them, but where they're at, it's dirt poor. It's a very dirt poor village, very poor. A lot of luxuries, things that she had to come to a place to say in her flesh, am I willing to follow the will of God back to somewhere that I thought was in my past, but this is what God wants for our family? Now, that is where the rubber meets the road. And she did the right thing, and she yielded, and she did it joyfully, got right behind her husband, and now they're there serving the Lord. And that story's been repeated over and over and over. And you know, if you were to talk to her, she's not miserable. She's finding the joy in it. I remember standing in the Orlando International Airport, kissing you goodbye. We'd lived there for most of our lives. And I said, honey, don't worry, we're not moving to Texas. Remember that? I said, baby, don't worry. We're not going to be moving to Texas. But I promised God I'd go and look at what. And then when I left, I had no calling in my heart at that point to come to Texas. I just didn't ever see myself leaving Florida. I couldn't even imagine how it could be God's will. Man, I had a youth camp, and I had the Soldiers of the Cross, and lots of things that 32 years of ministry would produce. I couldn't imagine God was going to move me away from all that. I came, I met y'all. And why'd y'all have to be so stinking lovable, and friendly, and sweet, and excited? And I preached, and I started feeling something boiling in my heart. And then I called you a few days later from the motel right over here. And I said, honey, I don't know, but I said, I feel. And we had just bought a house that we had wanted to buy for a long time. That was our dream home, wasn't it? And I said, honey, I feel that God's in this. And I'll never forget what you said. You said, okay, well, I'm going to go get boxes then. That's all you said. I was trying to work up this speech, you know. But, you know, we have found great joy, and not for a minute do we regret it. We know that we followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, who was taking us into the will of God for us. And man, it often is not what you want up front, though. It's not often what you wanted. Number two, it's often undesirable and frightening to you. The will of God's going to take you out of your comfort zone sometimes. It's going to take you into places that you wouldn't think you would even be able to do it. But in God's will, you'll find God's power. Number three, it's often not understood by others. I promise you, people that leave to go to the mission field have angry parents. Why can't you serve God here in San Antonio? Or no, why do you got to go to Mexico? Aren't there enough people that are Mexicans in San Antonio you could reach? I've actually heard that said to missionaries. Are there not enough people from those countries in your own? I've had missionaries tell me their moms, their dads, their brothers and sisters get angry at them. And I've had people in church tell me that when they've made decisions that are spiritual in their life, that their family and their friends don't understand it, and they get mad about it, and they argue with them about it. Listen, the will of God for you is personal, but it's not often understood by others. It's not understood by others. They don't get it. Number four, the will of God often requires complete faith, because at the beginning of it, you won't be able to see any way that it's going to work, but you'll have this calling in your heart, and you'll know that's what God wants, but it's going to require complete faith sometimes, and that's scary. Number five, obedience to it is the requirement to be right and in fellowship with God. You know, a lot of people are like Jonah. Jonah got on a boat, and he went somewhere. God told him to get up and go. He did get up and go, but what he offered to God was an alternate plan. I ain't going to Nineveh. I hate those people. So, you know, I'm going to go to Tarshish. Now, I'm going to serve God there. I'll go preach in Tarshish. I ain't going. I hate them Ninevites. How many times do we offer God an alternate plan in his will that we kind of feel like makes us, we know what God wants, and we partially obey it? A lot of people do that. Complete obedience to it is required to be in the right fellowship with God. Now, lastly, we will find great joy when we do what God wants. Let's close with this verse. Brother Kyle or Miss Kristen, can you look up Matthew 6:33 so everybody can see it? Matthew 6:33. Many of you have already memorized it. When you see it, you'll know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God his righteousness, and all these things. What do you reckon all these things is talking about? The things you want. All these things shall be added unto you. The things that you want, the things that are important to you. What has to come first? Give God what he wants. Be in subjection to the leading of the Holy Spirit that is under the command of the will of God. And you be the flesh. You be the example of Jesus yielding to the Father and to the Spirit, following his leading. But at the end, God says, I'm going to take care of you. I know what makes you happy. Jesus sets for us a wonderful pattern. At the end, Jesus bought the souls of mankind and delivered victory through his obedience. In obedience, Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says, and in that obedience, won the great victory and brought to us salvation. Oh, man, we'll have great victory if we follow the pattern of Christ. Let's bow up for a word of prayer. And we get done, Brother Dave's going to come up and lead us in our prayer time. great example from Christ, so many things. I hope you'll develop in your life an ability to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit and understand that that's in the will of the Father. And you be the flesh, yielding to the Spirit and to the will of the Father. What a great thing. Is there anyone that could say, "Preacher, I don't know that I am saved. Would you please pray for me? I need to be saved. I want Jesus to come in my heart." Would you slip your hand up tonight and put it right back down? Anybody? Man, I need help with this thing. I'm tired of worrying about it. I want to go to heaven, and I don't know. Amen. It looks like tonight I'm dealing with a full house of Christians, and I'm so happy about that. I hope that the message spoke to you and that the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart in your own personal way. Remember, the will of God is personal. It's personal. Be personally looking for it. Take it personal. All righty. Dear Father, we thank you for all that you've done. Hear our prayer request as we will now deliver them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on up, brother.